This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It looks like there might be a move to delay the problems with the debt ceiling. And what do I mean by that? We'll dive into it in just a second. Still problems with that oil spill off the California coastline. And then, in the meantime, some sad news, although nobody was killed, thank goodness. There was another school shooting. This time it was in Arlington, Texas. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for joining us on the show. Hope you are safe, warm, and at least a little bit happy wherever you are listening to us. Remember, 24/7, I'm here for you, baby. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. You can always send me your thoughts. And just when you thought it was so easy to do the whole COVID testing thing, because now there are some places that are requiring negative COVID tests. Nearly 200,000 COVID home tests were recalled over false positives. Yep, Elume COVID-19 home testing kits. It looks like they are likely to give a false positive result. So that is a problem. Remember, they got emergency use authorization from the FDA last December, and the Australian company had already shipped about 3.5 million of the test kits to this country. About 427,000 of those kits were affected by the problem, and about half have already been used, returning 42,000 positive results. Pretty difficult to determine how many of those positive results may have been incorrect. The rate, though, could be as high as one quarter. Wow. So guess what? They're going to give you a replacement kit. You can call Elume, and they've got an 800 number. It's easy to find them to see if your home test kit is included in the recall and to get instructions on what to do if it is. Oh, wouldn't that just be like a stick in the eye? You go to get a test, and then you have no idea. What is it showing me, right? And a lot of people did scramble to do that. Look, Los Angeles is an example right now. They're requiring proof of vaccination for indoor restaurants and businesses. They just passed this ordinance partially because of some of the things they were seeing with COVID tests. So you can't go to an indoor restaurant. You cannot walk into a gym or a shopping center or any of those types of eateries, establishments, what have you, starting on November 4th. There are certain businesses with indoor facilities, coffee shops, spas, museums, bowling alleys. They have to require proof of vaccination from customers. So you're not going bowling in the middle of the day when no one's there. You're not flying around the museum or going to a spa or stopping for coffee. You are out in L.A. unless you have a religious or medical reason for an exemption. And then if you do, what the state is saying is you have to use the outdoor facilities if they're available. And here we go to the COVID testing. You have to be able to provide a recent negative COVID-19 test if there are no outdoor facilities. Wow. And it passed pretty quickly. That council in L.A. voted 11-2 to make that happen. It's interesting, the world we live in, isn't it? Oof. And speaking of California, let's just wipe this one up, too. Too bad we couldn't easily do that with the oil spill. Very sad, as somebody who lived in California, that would be me for a short time in my life, a really fun time. I visited even an offshore rig once for a television report I did. But they were just out there, you know, driving down Santa Barbara, driving down the coastline. And this one that was just out there since 1980 had a rupture, and it sent oil spilling into the Pacific Ocean. And so, you know, 126,000 gallons of crude, 3,000 barrels that would equate to spilling into the Pacific Ocean, closing beaches in Huntington, Newport Beach, all that kind of stuff. So now what's happening is there's a huge argument about how long it took to respond to the spill. Because there were reports that they first started seeing oil in the water on Friday night local time, but yet the beaches were not closed on Saturday morning, and there were people that were going to the beaches and then were realizing that something was seriously wrong when they put their hand in the water and came up with oil in some cases, especially those that the handful that were surfing. So the pipeline that burst is supposed to be inspected every 2 years. It's due for inspection next month. Looks like an anchor smashed into it and caused that split, which led to the oil leak. They're still investigating some of that. And it's pretty hard because, you know, you've got some oil that won't float. It's hard to clean up when you have that. It's thick, the type of oil that's leaking. And that makes it that much harder to get it all up. But there's lots of people trying to help, obviously, in doing it. But, again, it makes it really tough. All right, I don't want to bury the lead. And the lead to me is what's happening on the Hill with the debt ceiling. Because we know that this can affect lots of people listening to the show's lives. Meaning if you're depending on certain checks to come your way, if you know, you look at what's happening with the debt ceiling, and this, again, the government is still open because that vote happened. But if you look at the debt ceiling and then how that interacts with the rest of the inner workings on the Hill, you know, it can hit that. It can hit you, the debt ceiling, because we haven't paid our debt. So you may end up paying for it in the long run if that happens on October 18th, which is kind of that loose date. So we've had this debt ceiling fight. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has offered to deal to Democrats to try to avert that potentially catastrophic debt crisis with this deadline flying around. There's nothing in writing. They're working on the language, the legislative piece of it, but it looks like the Democrats are willing to cut an agreement with the Republicans that would extend the debt limit into December. So that would give more time, and Mitch McConnell is saying it would make the excuses that the Democrats have about the time crunch they created and give the unified Democratic government more than enough time to pass standalone debt limit legislation through reconciliation. So there doesn't seem to be a path forward. This may be what happens, because remember, this has been tied to a couple of other things, and that's what's part of the problem, the Russian roulette that's going on here with several different pieces of legislation and the politicking. You know, that's what it's about. So Republicans have blocked Democrats' attempts to raise the debt ceiling initially as part of a broader stopgap federal funding measure to prevent a government shutdown, and then again in an attempt that would have allowed Democrats to pass without Republican support. But it looks like they've got some kind of a deal to avert a government default, which has never happened, by the way. But you can believe the Democratic majority is on the clock. So not out of the woods totally, but looking like pretty soon they're going to be out of the woods. That means you and I, by the way. All right, stay with us. Going to introduce you to an interesting young man who survived an accident that put him in a coma for a couple of months. Wait till you hear his story.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Murphy joined us some time ago. It was terrific. We had an interview about his first book. Now he's got another book that's out. The first book was Day to Night. The second book is A Young Man's Diary, and it is loaded with some interesting lessons and stories and things that happened to him. Kiwan, thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about A Young Man's Diary. Why'd you write this book?
Well, I wrote this book just for something for my first book to come out, like come off of or for a rebuttal. And I just wanted to explain how my mind was working at that time, because I don't think many people understood it completely.
Yeah, and when you say that, how your mind was working, let's refresh everybody. What happened to you, and how have you recovered from that?
Well, I was in a 2-month and 28-day coma for a while after an accident that my friend was driving in. Well, my friend at the time, I haven't spoken to him in a while, but that led to me having a traumatic brain injury, diplopia, and some other problems, but we're getting over those. I still can't do what I used to do, but I'm almost there.
So when you say you still can't do what you used to do, how did you come up with ways to figure it out? How did you give yourself that space to slowly have the patience to relearn some things?
Well, it just took a lot of... Well, if you're talking about writing a book, it took a lot of people telling me to get that done. Like, well, not a lot of people. Like, 3 people told me, and I was like, you know what? I should probably take that seriously now. And then I just began to write it, and I began to love it. So
in the book, you talk about a couple of things. You talk about a 5-year plan. Tell us about that chapter, a 5-year plan.
5-year plan, where I plan to go, where I plan to be in 5 years. Basically, it depends on my 5-year plan has avenues, I guess you can say, because I can go the writing direction, or I could go into psychology, which was my first love in this, for this field, my working criteria. But writing was my number one now, because I just love it so much, and I feel like I can understand things a lot better when I write things, when I write them out.
And that's what you did. That's what you did here. You talked about. Yeah, I like that. What's your 5-year plan? Coming up with that, all of that, and you talk about unpredictables. And we live in an unpredictable world. And that was something that you added. So tell us about unpredictables, which is the first chapter in the book.
Unpredictables is just things that came and blindsided me in a way. I think you could say that. But also just things I wasn't really expecting to happen at that time. I probably was going to expect it like a time down the road, but I'm not too sure what time.
Right.
And then, were you going to say something?
No, I'm listening to you. I said, yeah, I understand.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I just talk about the mindset that I had to carry going through these things. That's one thing that coming out of a coma was very hard to carry. But I was able to carry one, blessed to say that. But and then I just wrote this book as things came because I just wanted the real thing that be said. I didn't want a fog memory to be said about me or for me to write about myself.
Yeah. When, you know, thinking back and being in that coma and having that happen and trying to piece things back together, as you said, traumatic brain injury. Have you talked to others that have had traumatic brain injuries and have been in comas and have come out on the other side?
I've actually ran into a few people, and, like, I can say that we're blessed that we made it through. We both had that agreement, but us few people that we got together, I was going to go to a therapy that was like a group therapy of people that have been in situations like
yours.
Yeah, but I didn't really.
Yeah, you didn't go there. You didn't go there, but you met some people that had something similar that happened to them. What do you want people to take away from this? Isn't it about mindset and whatnot?
Mindsets and strength. Mindsets, strength, and you can know that someone else is going through similar predicaments that you're going through right now. It's not just you, because I felt like a few times that I was the only person going through this, but I got through that. I got over that.
Right, and that's what it is, a young man's diary. And you are in school. Tell us about school.
School is going well right now. I recently changed my major to English literature, considering that I just published 2 books, but it was psychology. I might just make that transfer back to that major because I'm very interested in learning people and the mindsets they have behind doing it, whatever they do.
And I think your book is very much like that.
It's a very good start to, if you want to get to know it, get to know someone.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the book is called The Young Man's Diary, Kiwan Murphy. Keep doing what you're doing. It's so inspiring thinking of your story, thinking of what happened to you and how difficult it is to piece things back together in the road that you're on and what you share with everybody. And it's a book that you can get on Amazon, of course, or Barnes & Noble. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me once again. I really appreciate this opportunity.
All right. It's interesting thinking of Kiwan and what he went through. And I was looking at students that were just a little bit younger than him and thinking about Timberland High School. 4 people injured in a shooting on Wednesday morning in Mansfield ISD, really Arlington, Texas. For reference, it's about 30 minutes outside of
Dallas, and it's where the Dallas Cowboys play and where the Texas Rangers play, and there's a big amusement park, Six Flags is there. And the 18-year-old, the suspect, Timothy George Simpkins, is in custody and is going to be charged with 3 counts of aggravated assault with a gun. Police say they believe that he and another student, this is how it might have happened, got into a fight, and it prompted the shooting. So there were parents who, you know, of course, as soon as they heard school was canceled and there was no threat once they pumped it out that it was all clear. But, you know, immediately there was a lockdown. And it is that feeling, that sick feeling a parent gets. And then students, as they hear some popping sounds, as it's always described, and they run for their lives or try to figure out where they're supposed to go. And he ran out of the school. So they were searching for him for hours. And later they found his car at an apartment in a town very close by. And they blocked off, you know, SWAT units were in. They blocked off the neighborhood and the street. And U.S. Marshals were there. And you know, he was then taken into custody early in the afternoon after what happened in the morning, and they found a .45 caliber gun near that scene, and they're trying to determine still if it was the weapon that he used. And this is the first time in a long time we've had a school shooting where I haven't said somebody was killed. Still, there was a 15-year-old that was shot, and they're in the intensive care unit. They're recovering. There was a 25-year-old English teacher who was also shot but didn't have to have surgery and is in good condition. There was another teenager, a young girl, who had bruises, grazed by a bullet, that kind of thing. She was treated and released. And there was a pregnant woman who was hurt during a fall in the initial response. She was treated at the scene and then released. So it happened during just the second period of school when the fight started. Apparently a teacher was yelling, help, help, help. And then there were shots that rang through the hallways and students were running to the back door and flying and all over the place, and books were flying all over the place. And just that second, that feeling, and it has to be an awful feeling for the students, but also for the parents who, again, are frantic and trying to get to their kids and find out more about what happened. Boy, sad, sad state of affairs. Meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
3 men now in custody after a shooting that left a woman dead and 14 people wounded inside a crowded bar in St. Paul, Minnesota, early Sunday morning. It happened at the 7th Street Truck Park, a bar and eatery in downtown St. Paul. Police said they didn't have a clear motive for the shooting. The identity of the young woman killed not yet released. Democrats who are solidly behind the reconciliation budget plan and the regular infrastructure bill President Biden's been pushing were out on the Sunday news shows. California Representative Adam Schiff on CBS's Face the Nation.
We're going to get both of these bills passed. They're going to be enormously important to the economy. And once we do, we're not going to make the mistake I think we did with Affordable Care Act. We're going to go out and we're going to promote this and let people know how it's directly impacting them.
And you're listening to USA Radio News. Encouraging news from Dr. Anthony Fauci, who says it appears the U.S. is turning the corner when it comes to COVID-19.
Certainly going in the right direction. That's the good news, and we have to just be careful that we don't prematurely declare victory.
The chief White House medical advisor is speaking on CNN's State of the Union and saying the numbers will continue to improve in terms of case counts and seven-day averages, especially if more and more people do finally get the shots if they haven't already. Fauci also says outdoor trick-or-treating should be perfectly fine this year, though people may want to be extra careful with any indoor Halloween gatherings. Hundreds of Southwest Airlines flights are still being canceled and delayed because of air traffic control issues and some disruptive weather. Southwest didn't state how many flights were affected, but FlightAware says it canceled over 1,000 flights across the country Sunday. And this is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I think this would be everybody's worst nightmare, and I am so glad that he wrote this book. Jim Pulley is in our virtual green room right now. His book is Love, Loneliness, Abuse, and Murder, the true story of a woman desperately seeking companionship. Jim, thanks for coming on.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's my pleasure.
So you and I had a conversation off the air, and we were talking about what happened with your mother and why you wrote this book. So let's talk about your mom and her story and what led to this.
Okay, well, the beginning was actually February 18 of 1986. That's when my father, Jack Pulley, fell dead in his tracks from a massive heart attack. Totally unexpected. Dad was 53 years old at the time. Presumably good health. He had a position for several years where they would come along and they would do the annual corporate physicals, and they always give him a clean bill of health. So he was unexpected, just dead in his tracks. And Mom at the time was only 50. Now, I know some folks may not get the whole picture, but my parents were born in the mid-30s, a dad in 1932, Mom in 1935. And at that time, it was acceptable for people to, you know, date at an early age. So Dad was 17, Mom was 14 when they met. And Mom never knew any other man. She stayed with Dad. You know, they dated through school, they graduated, and they were married in the early 50s. And they were happily married for almost 34 years. So when you lose a partner like that and you've never known anyone else and you're accustomed to the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, all of a sudden it's 1986, totally different time socially. So Mom had a really tough time with the loneliness part because we're not all wired to be alone. And I feel like the loneliness changed to more of a desperation. So that's when she decided to essentially find her a partner, find her a man.
Yeah.
And, so she had a close confidant, and that was her sister, my Aunt Shirley. She decided to fly to California just to get away and try to clear her head. And, you know, she's just looking for just some comfort, if you will, because they were close. And they went to dinner. They had a reservation at a nice seaside restaurant, and they went to dinner, and their reservations, they were delayed some. So the maitre d' recommended that they go downstairs in the club and maybe have a glass of wine and sit. And whenever their table was ready, they would go and get them. So as soon as that door opened to this club downstairs connected to the restaurant, according to my Aunt Shirley, my mother grabbed her arm and said, "I just saw someone who looked like Jack, like my dad." And that person was James R. Massey. And from that point, they danced and they exchanged contact information, phone number, so forth. And that was the night that she met the devil, the worst person ever. And that was the beginning of their so-called relationship. It was a relationship. It was just a sour relationship. This was in November of 1989 is when all this occurred. So Dad had been dead almost 5 years. So she'd been alone and tried to date off and on here and there. She was just looking to replace Dad. She was looking for another Jack, and that was not going to happen. So that's
Wow. And so when she met him and then you met him, did you know something wasn't, how did you know that something wasn't right? Did you just see it, or you didn't see it until things started to happen?
I could tell right away. He would do little things that he knew aggravated me and annoyed me. We spoke on the phone. Mom was all excited. "You got to meet this guy," and yada, yada. And I was skeptical because I'd read one of his letters, and it was sloppy, several words, easy words, misspelled. And I thought, this guy is, you know, my antennas went up. Of course, I'm protective as my mother, you know, and I wanted her to be happy. I'm like, look, this guy's good. That's fine, Mom. That's, you know, that's fine. But he shows up in Texas in a beat-up old car and, you know, just little bitty things. Like, his taillight was broken out, and he'd used red duct tape to fix it. Like, this guy, you know, right away, I know you're broke as a joke, or else you'd have that thing fixed correctly. And it's kind of hard to put my finger on it. There is one instance in the book, the first time we met him, and I'll just tell you real quick what happened. This was the very first time we met him. I stuck out my hand to shake his hand, and I was always taught you look a man in the eye and you give him a handshake. Don't break his fingers, but let him know, you know, you're a man too, and it's a pleasure to meet you, that kind of a thing. His handshake was more like a wet dish rag. And that may not mean much to some people. It meant a lot to me. I thought, oh, my gosh, you know. So what we'd done is, in the past, before Jim Massey was in the house, we had gone to order pizza. We'd get pizza, and the kids would swim, and, you know, we'd just have a nice afternoon, nice weekend. So I get the phone number for the pizza inn and called him up, ordered it, gave the last name, fine, click. He looks at me and he says, "Where did you order that pizza from?" Like that, with that attitude. And I said, "We always use Pizza Inn." He said, "What's the number?" I said, "It's right here." He calls up Pizza Inn and he says, yeah, that, just like that. I mean, I can still see him doing it. He says, yeah, the order that just came in, change the last name to Massey. And he had to tell this person three times just to be in control, right? Yeah, the name was Pooley. No, change that to Massey.
Oh, boy.
And we're all, my mouth is open. I'm standing there going, what difference does it that make?
Right.
I could have said Bartholomew and it wouldn't matter. They'll check your ID. They'll check your ID at pizza. And we just want to eat. Right?
We just want to eat, buddy. That's it.
Right.
So that was a telling sign. So what happens ultimately, and obviously people can get your book and they'll read the details of it, but what happened to your mom in the end?
Well, after he killed her, is that what you're asking is what happened?
Yeah.
After, like, the date or two after, no, this was, he shot and killed her April 9 of 1995. So they were together about 5 years.
Mm.
And it was a miserable time. He always answered the phone and, you know, you could just tell he was pushing us away, which is from day one, moment one, he was pushing us away. Or he was trying to provoke me just to get him down and just knock the sense out of him. You know, then he becomes the victim and I become the bad guy. And he really has leverage then to push me away. Look what your son did to me, knocked all my teeth out, broke my nose. And you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I also knew pretty early on that it would have wound up in court, and I would have been viciously attacked by an attorney, and how I beat up this poor old guy or whatever, and, you know, then I would have owed him money. And that was, so I'm like, you know what, you have a couple things going on that's just not right. And so from that point, we knew that we were being pushed away. And like I said, he was the one always answered the phone, always took control, and which was sad because he wasn't in control. We found out way later that, you know, he was doing cocaine, and he was a horrendous alcoholic. He would get up in the morning and start out with vodka and orange juice. And, you know, those, I don't mean to judge. I just mean that was his lifestyle, his chosen lifestyle.
Right.
Mom actually tried to put him in rehab. He called her every day crying about that. Oh, the food's terrible. I hate this. I'll be good. I'll change. Bring me home. And she broke down and brought him home. There's a story in the book about January 1 of 1994, which was almost 1 year before he shot and killed her, where Mom called the house on, it was a Saturday, it was January 1, it was New Year's Day, and it was the afternoon, it was like 2, maybe 2:30, my sons and I, and wife, we're all just sitting around watching college football. I don't mention my daughter, I don't remember her being that interested in college football, but we were all home anyway, and I could tell right away there was something wrong. So I asked Mom, what's going on? Are you okay? And she said, I can't sit down. And I said, what? And I said, what's wrong? And she finally got the words out. She said, he beat me up. And oh my goodness sake, that was the first clear sign that he was physically abusive, you know? So
right.
First thing I did is I grabbed this little T-ball bat, little aluminum 28-inch T-ball bat out of my son's closet. My youngest son, you know, boys all played ball and all that. But anyway, I jumped in the truck, I take off, stop by, my brother just happened to be home, I grabbed Jack and said, we got to go, come on, boom, we get down there, I go by the police station because my mother worked for the city of Duncanville, Texas.
Wow.
So it was a tiny moment of clarity. I went by there and said, I told the lady, listen, I said, my mom's so-called husband has beaten her up. And I said, I'm telling you what, I said, I'm going up here to Hillcroft Avenue, I'm about 3 minutes away. I said, when I get there, he's going to wind up in a heap in the front yard unless you have a police officer there before me. And she said, well, sir, there's no point being so belligerent. I don't want to hear that. So I jumped in the truck, took off, went to Main Street, and right in front of us went two squad cars. So we ran the red light, and we got right in behind the squad cars. We're going 60 miles an hour down Main Street.
Mm.
So we get there, and, of course, I did not get out with my ball bat, even though I really wanted to. So I get out of my truck, and the police officers were just doing their due diligence. You know, sir, get back in your vehicle. We've got this. We'll handle this. So I let them take off. They get up the door. They, you know, they knock on the door, and the whiz kid turned off the front porch light. Oh, that's brilliant.
Wow. Let's leave it there because we don't want to tell the whole story.
Okay, there's more to it.
But there's more to it. The book is called
ma'am.
Love, Loneliness, Abuse, and Murder, The True Story of a Woman Desperately Seeking Companionship. Awful, awful domestic violence. She was a wonderful lady from everything you've told me, Jim.
Yes,
you can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on.
And just one real quick footnote, October 13, I'm speaking to an intimate partner violence class at Virginia Tech University, so I'm pretty excited about that. I know the professor, she's heard me speak, she's asked me to come. We're going there on our own nickel. I do it whenever I can, as often as I can, so let everyone know that I'm always willing to give my presentation.
It.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim.
Yes, ma'am, I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Amazon is making groceries more affordable and accessible to all customers, providing an easy way for families to have access to healthy and delicious food. SNAP recipients can use their EBT card benefits on Amazon and Amazon Fresh to order shelf-stable pantry items, as well as fresh produce and proteins. Plus, eligible SNAP orders are conveniently delivered right to your door, no membership required. Customers who add their Snap EBT card on Amazon will also receive budget-saving offers and exclusive deals on beloved products. This month, shoppers can save on select products from top brands, including Nature's Path cereal and granola, perfect for starting the day or an after-school snack, and Tyson products, including selections of top-quality chicken that are a delicious main course at any family meal. For more information, to enroll your benefits, and to start saving today, visit Amazon.com/snap.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
So we're going to a place, the south coast of England, picture near the Isle of Wight. Oof, sounds really exciting to me, that's for sure. Guy Evans is in that spot, and he's written a book called The Lost Chronicles of East London, The Streets of Darkness. Guy, thanks so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
So I got to ask you this first, though, because, you know, there's people listening all over the world, especially in America, but in Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, and we have images of Isle of Wight. What's Isle of Wight like? Because you're near there.
The Isle of Wight is a sort of 1950s throwback. If you've ever been there, it's like going into a time warp. You sort of cross the Solent and you can sort of feel a charge go through your body and you revert back to being into the 1950s. They even have, for their train sort of system, they have the old underground trains from London from the 1960s and 70s still running. So that's what the Isle of Wight is like. My son actually goes to school on the Isle of Wight. He gets the hovercraft over every morning. So he gets to actually sail across to the Isle of Wight every day for school.
Wow, how interesting is that? And it's funny, we were talking off the air and you were in London and you talked about loving London.
Right.
So it's, I think, no surprise that you write about London and you've got this character we're going to talk about, Joe Druitt. But before we get there, what led you to becoming a novelist? What made you want to write?
I've always liked writing ever since I was little. I've liked writing stories. I think when I was growing up in the 1980s, I think it was the real start of children's television and the explosion of cartoons. I'm a huge fan of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and Thundercats and Transformers. And it's all those colourful characters. And I especially love the artwork. I actually collect the artwork from the He-Man cartoons. So I've got the cells for the backgrounds and some of the actual movement images for the cells as well. That sort of made me think, yeah, I really like writing, being able to tell stories. And I was a teacher for over 20 years, and I was head of English and drama. So I would write stories for children, and I would write plays for children. Because I think a lot of children, when they are performing, feel very shy or very nervous or left out of what they do. And to include every single child in a year group when you've got 100 children, so they've all got something to say or something to do or something to dance to, is very important. It makes them all feel involved. And the character of Joe Druitt doesn't feel involved at the beginning of the book. He feels useless because he can't read. And it's the idea that, all right, you might not be able to do something, but you can all do everything when you really put your mind to it. And when you have the support of friends and your family. At the beginning, he doesn't really have that until the end, when his mum especially realises just how special he actually is.
So now we come to the book, and tell us the story. Tell us the character Joe Druitt, what happens in the, not everything, because we want people to get the book, but the Lost Chronicles of East London, the Streets of Darkness. Tell us about that.
Well, Joe is born in Whitechapel, which is an area of East London which is notorious for the Jack the Ripper murders, which happened in the 1870s. And although he's aware that this is what happened over 100 years ago, he doesn't really think about it now, mostly because he can't read, so he's not got a real understanding of it, and he refuses to try and learn to read because he just thinks other people will laugh at him. He has a sort of vision where he experiences a street in East London, a special street called Dorset Street, as it was over 100 years ago. It's now a car park, and Dorset Street, 100 or so years ago, was called the worst street in London. And ironically, the car park in Dorset Street is now the worst car park in London. And he experiences these images of the past, and he can see the rats and the rubbish and the fact that the dirt is all piled up on the streets. And he knows that something isn't quite right. And he begins to learn that actually Jack the Ripper may not be exactly who we think Jack the Ripper is, especially along the sort of easier human side. And he goes back in time with two friends to try and actually work out who or what Jack the Ripper is before whatever he is comes into our reality and into the 21st century.
Yeah, so when people read The Lost Chronicles of East London, The Streets of Darkness, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold.
Yeah.
Guy, what do you hope people take away from reading your novel?
I'd like them to see that children are not necessarily the way that they're perceived to be. I think everybody's got this idea that children are not in the same league as an adult. I think intellectually, and having taught with children for so long, if the children aren't on board with you as a teacher or with as a person, then they'll fight back. Children can be absolutely terrifying. I remember I had a year six class, so that's 11-year-olds, and I went on paternity leave for 2 weeks. And I loved that class. They were great. I thought they were amazing. Well, the first supply teacher lasted till playtime with them. So that shows you what they thought of her. The second supply teacher lasted for a day. And the third supply teacher hung on for grim death for the rest of the 2 weeks. When I got back, they had done absolutely nothing. Because children are just as clever, if not cleverer, than adults. And I think you underestimate a child at your peril. So that it's just that children should be treated, and hopefully I've written them in that light as well, in the same way as an adult. They're just as good as us, if not better.
I like that, if not better. I agree. Hear, hear.
Yes.
So we're not done after this with Joe Druitt. We're continuing on. Tell us about what's coming up. Give us a kind of a sneak peek of that.
Well, Joe and his friends realise that it might not just be Jack the Ripper from the past or from that area of London who wants to try and take over the world or the universe. I like a villain who wants to think big. That idea of the world is not enough, that's almost a Bond thing, isn't it, now that the new Bond film's out. But they realise that Cleopatra's Needle, which I don't know if any of you have been to London, sits on the embankment, is not exactly from ancient Egypt. It's older than that. It's far older. And whoever is underneath Cleopatra's Needle don't just want to stay underneath Cleopatra's Needle. But there is a running thread that runs through all the books. If there's a character who is going to use the children to try and get ultimate power in the universe, and he needs to be able to get them on board with him first before he starts to attempt that.
Nice. And I have a feeling that this is going to continue on and on. Is it fun for you to write? Is it fun for you to create this?
It is. And actually, when I was doing the second book, which is called The Sirens of Galleon's Reach, which is an area in East London, it's where the Princess Alice, which is a paddle steamer, sunk at the end of the 18th century. On the same day, actually, that Cleopatra's Needle came into London, I actually enjoyed, in a way, writing the second book more than the first, because although the first one is the baby, it's just the emergence of the characters. And by the second book, you know them better, so it's easier to write the interaction between them. And the fact that Edo thinks he's, well, it's Joe's friend, thinks he's marvellous and wonderful and intelligent, and Joe comes in with the put-downs, and Flo, who's the goth girl of the series, she sort of like gets in between them, and she's sort of the peacemaker.
Yeah, and for you in doing this, I was thinking, boy, you have a lot to draw from because of the children that you've taught, being involved with drama. So you would know, but probably pieces of these characters are pieces of people that you've met, I would imagine.
They are, yes. Joe is actually based on two boys that I know very well. One of them ironically called Joe and another one called Taylor. And it's the fact that sometimes boys will be boys and they would say things that you think, oh, didn't know you were going to come out with that, or didn't know you were going to say that. And I taught these boys when they were 10. They're now 26, 27, and I'm still in touch with them now. So they'll be fascinated that I'm doing this and talking about them on American radio. So one of them is actually, he's an ex-boxer now, I think, Taylor. So, and they're all doing very well for themselves, which is lovely to see. When you send a child away after however long you've got them for, you always wonder, well, what they're going to do, what's going to become of them. And keeping in touch with so many of them, it's great to see they've all got children now of their own, which makes me feel very old, and families and jobs and careers, which is brilliant to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's got to be the rewarding part of watching. Definitely. What happens when you see these boys become men, and then what they turn into, because of how there's so much criticism, or you should do this, or you should do that, and then they turn out wonderful, and it's to your point of what you said about children, that maybe they're smarter than us sometimes.
Definitely. I do think children have a different view of the world, and it's probably a better view of the world than us adults have, especially at the moment. I do think children have responded to the pandemic a whole lot better than we have. I think it's something to do with their psyche, that they're just like, okay, this is happening, we'll go with it. Whereas having seen the panic in the adults around the world, I think children have got it just right, really.
Yeah, I do too. Well, you got it just right with this book, The Lost Chronicles of East London, The Streets of Darkness. Guy Evans, thanks for coming on.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.